Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Dave, give us your best impression of an F1 car. that's terrible. What was that? That was just you clearing your throat.
That's a Honda breaking down.
Oh, nice.
No, okay, F1 car, okay. That's the modern car.
That sounded okay, actually. That sounded like as good as the real thing, almost.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. No, you're welcome.
Obviously, we've seen them in real life, so we know what we're on about.
We know exactly what they sound like, yeah.
And they sound not very good.
Not as good as they once sounded.
But alas, no. It's all gone. Anyway...
Start the show!
Welcome to the 2019 Formula One preview with That's Life.
Woo! Crowd goes wild.
The crowd, just fade in the crowd background noises. So it's another year. Once again, here in the world of...
another year here in the world. So it's another year here in the world. That's kind of how it works. Excellent start.
Well, time never stops.
Time never stops, and I'll be good.
Obviously. And yes, so it's going to be the new Formula One season starting very soon. So first of all, Tom, let's get the formalities out of the way. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent.
How are you?
Excellent. I am marvellous. It's lovely to have you back on the show.
It's nice to be here.
It's been quite a while, once again.
But this is in fact my first... Go on, sorry.
That was exactly what I was going to say. But
great minds.
Yes, indeed. This is your first show. In the 30th year of your life.
No, I'm in the 31st year of my life, Dave. Well, I'm 30 years old.
Well, details, you know.
This is my first.
Details.
First as a 30-year-old.
Indeed, in this year that it is. So, well done for that.
Thank you.
Give you our thoughts on the new season and see where we end up at the end of this. So what we've got for you, we are going to play you a clip from last year's show where we discuss three of the new features that the Formula One management is introducing for the season. And we're going to see if our thoughts and opinions are the same 1 year on. So play that clip. So what's your thoughts? What did you think of the Halo?
The Halo? I think in a year's time, it will just be the normal thing. I don't think it... Because it looks a bit weird now, but I think quite soon we're going to forget it's there, and it's just going to be part of the car. And I'm not really a fan, but I get it. Like, I get why they're doing it, and it's for the right reasons. So I can't be too annoyed with it.
Fair enough.
What's your thoughts, Dave?
My thoughts, I think it will be removed in a year.
Really?
Myself, I think Formula One is an open cockpit formula, and if it isn't, then put an actual cockpit around it. Is my opinion. Don't put a half-assed one. It wouldn't have saved Jules Bianchi, and it probably could have saved Henry Surtees in 2009. If the tyre had hit the right bit, I mean, it's lots of ifs and buts.
What's going to happen if a car is upside down? Is the driver going to escape okay? What if there's a fire?
Some strong thoughts there, Dave.
Indeed. Yes, quite interesting. I think your points are very valid. Your points that you made is very valid. It is starting to become more...
Part of the car.
Part of the car. I've noticed on the Mercedes car in particular, they've coloured it. It's got it properly coloured. They've got the Mercedes badge on there. The halo device, it is starting to become more sculptured.
It is part of the car now. It just looks right. It just is part of the car.
Well,
it's just part of the different.
Well, you know, I'm looking up on my Jensen Button photo frame that I have here, and he's got his car from 2012 without the halo, and it's an unfortunate reminder, really, of what the cars are like. And it's interesting though, because today I was watching a podcast with Damon Hill. Back from 2016, and they were just, and this was when the halo idea was first being introduced and mentioned, and with an idea of putting them on the cars. And Damon made the point of, let the drivers carry the risk. You know, if the driver wants to have a halo on their car because they want it, then let them have it. You know, and I feel the feeling at the time was that the drivers weren't really consulted if they feel the halo was the right thing to do or not. And it's kind of been imposed on them.
See what you're saying.
Like, and then the argument was that would Ayrton Senna have wanted a halo? You know, obviously, it's a hypothetical question. There's no way to know this.
It's difficult because he was quite big on the safety side of things. So...
Yeah.
If it would have saved lives, maybe he would have. I don't know.
No, that's something. It's the big question. Big what if?
Yeah.
And obviously, and it's the little clip you played there. I made the point that what happens if a car's upside down? Well, we've seen that.
Yeah.
We've seen the driver.
Hulkenberg.
Hulkenberg was stuck in the car.
You know, hanging like a cow.
Hanging like a cow was the exact phrase he used, because he literally could not get out. And so what if the car was on fire?
What if there's a fire, yeah.
You know, they got the overalls on, but...
It's a point that hasn't really been brought up much. I thought at the end of that race, I suppose because it was the last race, perhaps we didn't hear as much about it, but I thought it would be a point that would have been brought up quite a lot because he was basically stuck there. And, yeah, you're right. If there had been a fire,
The stuff he could have done. Obviously, the marshals would have had the fire extinguishers. And did they carry a fire extinguisher in the car? I don't know. A little one? I don't even know.
But, I don't think so.
No, I'd be surprised. But obviously, the halo is here to stay. My point being, be removed. It's not. It's definitely here to stay, for better for worse. I think is the end of the day. And obviously the Formula One group are looking to improve the aesthetics of the car, and I've seen the new concept drawings for 2021. You know, the cars look pretty sweet, but whatever, this is the concept drawings. Who knows where it'll end up. My opinion of the halo, I think it goes with what we said earlier, let the drivers carry the risk. And at the end of the day, if they feel it's too dangerous, don't drive in Formula One. Or
so you're not suggesting they choose if they want it. You're just saying it shouldn't. It still shouldn't be part of F1.
Well, there's the avenue, a different avenue people haven't considered. It's been mandatory that every driver will have the halo in also Formula 2 and Formula 3 Super Formula in Japan as well. Give the drivers the option. You know, would you like? Obviously, they're all going to say no, aren't they? Because it's weight saving and everything. But maybe that's something that needs to be explored.
What about the crash at Spa that we were actually at that race? But we... Oh, no, I was at... I
you
was
were
at
you were at the race.
Sorry.
Charles Leclerc's his life. The pictures, it was obvious. You know, the tyre definitely made a big connect with the halo, which deflected the car over. It's a very tricky one to properly quantify without seeing all the data. But undoubtedly, the halo did a good job there. Yeah, there's no denying that.
So in that sense, are you glad that it was there?
Am I glad it was? Ooh, I suppose, yeah. No,
because if you're thinking about it, like Leclerc is one of F1's,
up and coming.
And so if we were, say, I'm not saying he would have died, but he might have been out for a while, or he might not have been the same. We might have lost potentially one of the great drivers. So the halo in that sense has improved the sport, like away from the safety side. Like it's improved the racing and the sport in that sense, as well as the fact that he wasn't hurt.
Very true. That's true. No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. You know, the halo did play a role there, but as well, you know, you got to look at Martin Brundle's crash back in 1994, where the four car pileup. You know the one I'm talking about, where Martin Brundle's slowing down, he's got a car problem, and then I think it's Eddie Irvine comes along and wipes out about three cars, including him. Brundle actually gets hit in the head in that crash by a wheel, and he obviously not good, but he walked away from that.
He's okay,
So you know, Formula One's been open wheel for 50 odd years. There's been incidents where drivers have been on the head. Most of the time they've been all right. It's that tolerance. You know, there is a tolerance, and if you get hit at the head in the wrong angle, that's it. You're a goner. Is it worth the risk? The driver.
It's the question that we all ask, isn't it?
You talk to the drivers. Yeah. They're the one racing. They're the ones choosing to race the cars. But that's the halo, really. Here to stay, for better for worse.
Exactly. Good. Okay.
Good debate.
Yeah, one that we can pick up again at some point. So our second clip, which we'll play now, involves the new F1 logo.
Formula One at the last race in Abu Dhabi also unveiled a brand new logo for the sports, continuing the new owner's rebranding of the Formula One. What do you think of this? What do you think of the logo?
I preferred the old one, but I don't hate it. I like it, but I prefer the old one.
Yeah, it's like two corners sort of combined together, and then the one is sort of just...
Yeah. It's very old school style. Like, it's kind of an old school racing style, which I quite like, but I still prefer the old one.
I don't know. I think it was the old... I like the old logo, but I think it was time to update it. But the one they've come up with, it's a bit too simple. I mean, I could have done that, quite frankly.
So, you know what's interesting is now I prefer the new one.
Oh, really? Honestly. Why? Tell me why.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just grown to like it. I just think it feels right now. And I know we'll come on to the theme song next, but I don't know. It's like a new vibe for the sport, and I quite like it. I don't know, it's just I know what you're saying about you could have done it, but it doesn't need to be like all these little bits and tricks and fading in and out. It's just a simple, like, you see that now and you think F1
for me.
You don't agree.
No, it's a bit anonymous, maybe. It's like I don't even notice it now.
Okay.
It's not because I think because it is such a simple logo, I don't recognize it as much. It's like if it's on a screen, I don't even look at it. It's just on the screen, my brain doesn't even process it. You know, it's not it just doesn't stand out. Maybe that's what they were going for.
I suppose it goes like we've all got our own tastes. I don't think they're going to change it now. So
I still agree with my last comment that in the clip that it needed, the logo was worth an update, a rebrand. But maybe they've dumbed it down or gone a bit too simple with the choice of logo. But again,
yeah, perhaps, yeah.
But again, it might grow to. But like you said, it's become part of the furniture now, really.
Yeah, it just is. Yeah,
you know?
It just goes well. But, it just fits with the modern day.
But then there's nothing special. But there's nothing special.
Yeah,
that's my gripe. And Formula One is meant to be special, and the logo is just meh.
Yeah,
it's a bit meh. It's meh. You know, it's not great. It's not great, but it's not bad either. It's just
it just is. Yeah,
it just is. So
I still think they should use the That's Life. That's Life one.
Do you? Okay. Well, we could suggest we can send it into.
Yeah,
I was going to say Bernie, but no, he wouldn't care.
Oh, no, he wouldn't care now. No, but he, no.
Anyway.
Legend of the sport there.
Yes,
anyway.
Absolutely.
So our final clip we're going to play for you now from last year's show is about the new theme song and our first thoughts of the new theme song.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Formula One also today announced a new theme tune. So we've both listened to it. And
yep.
From my feelings, I need a bit more Captain America, a bit more Iron Man, perhaps some Superman, you know,
yeah,
in there.
I mean, it's very like, it's like a song for a film, I feel. It's like an epic,
epic battle, epic battle, Star Wars,
yeah.
Big bat crashing and laser blasts. Yeah. It's got some Formula One sounds.
Yeah, it's got like throughout.
Yeah, but they didn't tell them that Formula One cars don't sound like that anymore.
Oh yeah, it's good.
It's more
good
like
job they used the old style cars and not.
It wouldn't. Whew, thank God. Yeah. Nowadays, they sound more like. Is it the dying whale?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, there goes the Mercedes. Yeah. It's a dying a whale that's eating too much pufferfish.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that.
So
well, I quite like it though. I mean, it's very fast paced.
You like the theme? You like the theme? I think maybe I could. If I see it with some cars in the background, you know. Dicing around, having a bit of a battle. I don't know. It's all right. It's all right. I'll give it a pass.
It's a grower.
So our thoughts there on the. It's funny listening to all that. I love the theme tune now.
Yeah, I do as well. It's like second to the That's Life theme. It's the greatest song ever.
Absolute ever.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
It's become such a thing now that whenever I hear it, I think, oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
It's almost more than, you know, the chain music. You hear the chain music.
Yeah.
Like, Formula One. This is now like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the mood.
Oh yeah. Here
I'm in the mood for some F1 now, baby.
And it's great because they play it just before the start of the races. And then it plays like in the background, you know, when it... I assume it does this. It does this on Sky Sports, and I assume it does it on Channel 4 and all the rest of them.
Did
where it gives you some short facts, or did? Yeah, sorry. but it gives you like some short facts, and like they'll say like Spain has the blah blah
oh,
blah.
Like, oh right, blah, yeah, blah. It does.
But it plays the little bit of the song beneath it, so it's like just like.
Just a couple of tones.
It builds wonderful.
It builds anticipation, and obviously when they finish as well, they play it. The way they've done it, and they've integrated it into the format of the race. Well, live on the TV anyway. It works. The bottom line, it works. I don't know. The trouble is, will it get old? Is my one problem.
Did the chain get old? No.
Okay. Personal taste, isn't it? That's true.
That still is good. That's true. As the first it's time still I a heard
good,
it.
Still a good. Still, it's you can't beat that riff really. Like theme tune. Brilliant. Very good.
Big tick.
Big tick.
Great job by what was his name? Tyler? Someone?
I don't know. So moving on a little bit from this whole new Formula One rebranding and everything, something that has come out recently, which I'm not really a big fan of, is the Netflix series. Have you heard about this? Have you seen the trailer for it?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. Well, for those of you who haven't seen the trailer, it's it doesn't really portray Formula One in the right way, because it shows lots of crashing, you know, in the trailer, and it shows it shows a crash from Grosjean back in 2012 or whenever it was, and they're thinking, hang on, this is a documentary that's meant to be following Formula One last year. Why are they showing that? And it's going stuff like, oh, Formula One danger and excitement, and I'm there like
That's what the middle fans. So me and you, right, are massive F1 fans, and we love the sport for what it is. But then there are fans who kind of watch it if it's on or if they're in the mood, and that appeals to them, if that makes sense. So it appeals to the fan, like they're not the big fans, but not the smaller fan, like the middle fans that are keen enough to watch it, but don't really. They want to see crashes. They want to see, you know, passes.
Yeah. Decent racing.
They don't care about the real F1. Like the so and so will pit on this lap, and he's going to change to these tyres, and all that sort of stuff is what the real fans, you know, they love all that stuff as well.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, mate. We got a bit of time. Go on YouTube now and have a just go and watch it. Do you want me to send it to you?
Yeah, if you like.
And so to clarify as well, that it's called Formula One Drive to Survive, which is a bit right.
From the producer of Senna and Amy, who's Amy? Is he another F1 driver?
Must have been.
Just not as famous as Senna.
No, it didn't make it that far. I'm going to play as well, just to remind me. So
there's some, so they're all on the grid. Oh, they're training a little bit, doing some gym work. Yeah.
Lights are going.
There's lots of like mums talking about their kids. Ah, big crash. Yeah. Oh, there's a car upside down. It's Hulk. He's hanging there like a cow. Oh, lots of angry people. Oh, Verstappen just pushed Ocon.
Mostly Haas. Oh, just...
Oh, another crash. The two Red Bulls. Swearing, bleeping and swearing. I'm not worried about dying. Oh, lots of crashes, big crashes. What a load of rubbish.
That
completely gives the wrong vibe. Like, it's completely the wrong feel. That's not representative of F1 at all.
This is the new look Formula One, all about crashing.
Right, let's move on.
We're moving on now.
So each year me and Dave predict our top 10 where the drivers will finish. And what we're going to do is quickly now have a look at last year's like what we both said last year, and compare that with where the drivers finished. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. Okay, so last year.
So in 10th position, Tom, you said Hülkenberg. I went for Grosjean, but it was actually Carlos Sainz. So Sainz did a good job there. 9th, you said Ocon, and I went with Hülkenberg, but actually it was Magnussen. So both wrong. 8th place, we both went with Alonso. And it was actually Perez. So Perez did a good job.
So we didn't say him at all in our predictions.
No, I totally missed out. It's funny about that. 7th place, we both went Sainz. So we all thought he would do a lot. I think both of us had high expectations of Sainz.
There. Yeah.
He finished 10th, and it was actually Hülkenberg who was in 7th place. So we should have. Hülkenberg had just needed more of a boost. Hülkenberg didn't even feature in your top 10 last year. So
yeah, 10.
That's interesting. Oh, sorry. No. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, you've written Hulk instead of Hülkenberg.
So. Oh, apologies. Indeed. Sorry about that.
6th place is an interesting one. We both went for Kimi Raikkonen, but the actual was Ricciardo, Danny Ric.
We had a lot of the same. Between 8th and 4th, we both said the same. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so like you said, the next time we were both Bottas, and it was actually Bottas, so we got that one right, because we knew Bottas would be a bit rubbish. Then it was we both went Ricciardo, and it was Verstappen. Then here's where things differentiate a little bit. Tom, you went with Verstappen, and I went with Vettel. Both wrong, ultimately. It was actually Kimi Raikkonen who had a much better season than we thought.
So we both said sixth, and he was third.
Yeah. So
interesting.
It's funny how Raikkonen got better. I didn't think he would get better this last year after his previous seasons, but he really did turn it around. And then in second position, you went with Sebastian Vettel, which was of course correct, and I put Verstappen, which was a curious one.
Well, I think you said this is the year that he comes of age. That was what you said at the time.
I think it was, And he's obviously now he's de facto team leader, and I think he was kind of towards the end of last season.
Yeah, Ricciardo's car kept failing him, didn't it? So
yeah, funny. The end. Funny that,
especially once he announced that he was going to leave.
It's a weird that, because I'm reading David Coulthard's book at the moment, and he's describing how Red Bull basically built themselves up to have quality of excellence of everything they do, including like building the car and testing the car and all that. So it's curious to see how Ricciardo's car wasn't really up to scratch once he had announced he was there we are. Who knows? And obviously, finally, we both said Hamilton to win. And of course, it was.
Hamilton won.
So Hamilton was the champion last year.
So we were mostly
wrong.
We both got, mostly wrong, but mostly quite close as well.
The top six is obviously, it's all pretty much interchangeable between first and second, and then it all swaps around, really, doesn't it? So we'll see how close this year we are. Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, we both had 8 of the top 10. Not necessarily in the right places, but we had 8 of the top 10.
So it was Perez we missed out on, and Magnussen, because I don't think either of us would say.
Yeah, I don't like him. I'm not sure if you've noticed.
Yeah, so you mentioned that once or twice.
Oh, and we predicted who was going to be last.
Yeah, side note, we both said Ericsson would be last place, but it wasn't. It was Sergei Sorokin.
Who
did score a point. I, you know what? I don't think Sorokin did a bad job last year. He just had a really bad car. So,
and I mean, Stroll is so good that he was always going to make it look bad. I mean, like, Stroll is that good, he's got a promotion. Pretty much, isn't he?
Yeah, he did. It's a good thing Daddy bought a team. It always helps when your dad buys you a Formula One team, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you get bought in. Pasta Maldonado.
come on, Pasta wasn't that bad.
What? Pasta Maldonado wasn't that bad?
Compared?
Oh, God. Remember that time he just turns a bit too far and just drove off the track? Remember that one? Kept turning a bit too long and just drove onto the grass.
That happened once, yeah. It did.
Oh, that was... he was terrible. I can't believe he even won a race.
People give him a bad rep. But on his day, he could win a race.
the one time he had a decent car, he won a race. So,
exactly.
You know.
You can never take that away from him. Well, yeah. So there we are. So we'll do the same thing again at the end of the show, and yeah. Come next year we'll see how we did.
Yeah, exciting.
Right. So very quickly then. So winter testing happened. So it was eight days of intense training, six if you're Williams. Yeah, Williams not quite making the cut, and it was quite. It's been quite an interesting testing sessions. Funny thing is, every team looks in good shape.
Fairly decent, apart from Williams.
Don't they? even Williams, they managed to get... They did
a lot of laps, not very fast.
They did do a lot of laps. Yeah. I read that Kubica's quite worried because he said that he never did more than a 20-lap run in testing. Oh. So that bodes well for Australia.
60-lap races.
Yes. Well, we'll see how that goes, shall we? But otherwise, you know, every team has looks like they've turned up with a pretty good package.
Which is good.
It's really open this year. It's probably one of the openest we've seen. And what has been your highlight of testing for yourself?
I didn't really watch much of it.
Well, Vettel obviously crashed. Gasly crashed quite a few times. Norris binned it. I worry. Well, you know, if you're gonna go off, you're gonna have a spin. Do it in testing rather than the actual race.
There was quite a few that were going off on the very first lap as well.
It was curious.
I think the track was a bit greasy, a bit fresh, and they got caught out a few times.
They did.
Highlight. I don't know. I think Leclerc looks like he's going to be a real quality driver.
Oh, totally. Absolute totally.
I think he's already warming to the team. I'm glad that he was fairly on. I didn't expect him to match Seb, but he's not far off him. So, yeah, it'll be good to see how he does.
I think McLaren, it's difficult to say, but they don't look bad as well. They were quickest on a couple of days. Obviously, tire compounds, clean acceleration, engine modes. You know, there's no point really looking too much into the times, obviously. But it's more so the mileage. I'll give you one guess as to who did the most.
Mercedes.
It was.
Surprise,
surprise. And who did the least?
The least, Williams?
It was Williams, yes.
Oh.
But only,
I thought it might have caught up, actually.
You know, only just. Racing Point were pretty low on the old bike. They were the second lowest, and obviously they were there for the entire time. So quite curious.
I think they are going to drop back this year. That's one of my predictions.
It's a building year, I think, for them. They still don't know. Well, I don't even know what to call the team. obviously they're Racing Point.
Yeah.
Racing Point, but. Really? What's the point?
Racing Point Racing.
is Racing Point the number of points they'll get this year? That's pretty bad.
and on that note,
time to end the show. No. But another worrying stat actually is Red Bull did the eighth least amount of laps. So maybe some work there for them. But otherwise that's the state of play. What do you reckon? I think Kimi Raikkonen has seemed to have settled in amazingly well to his new team.
Yeah, but I knew he would because he's that sort of person. Like, he's no fuss. We know how good he is. We know he's not going to win races, whatever team he's at, it seems. but he's good, and he just does the job. And I think he's a dark horse for some points this season. Another prediction.
I go more than that. Podiums for me.
Really?
No. Oh yeah, I reckon he'll be on podiums.
Raikkonen
at least once. Oh yeah, at least once this year. Possibly
at least once.
Possibly at a track like Spa or Italy.
Alfa Romeo.
No, they look really good. The Alfa car looks.
Do they?
Yeah, it looks really planted, mate. It looks like a good car, good chassis, and obviously they got the Ferrari engine. Do I look at the overall lap times? It's more about. I was listening to some Autosport podcast, and the guy was saying he was watching the Alfa Romeo, and it looks one of the more stable cars through the corner. The McLaren, on the other hand, looked more of a handful. So that was the comparison. So should we do a what we feel for the season for the teams? Is that
we'll just go through each team.
So let's start from the bottom up. The Williams team, it can't really get much worse for them, I don't think.
Oh, it could. They did quite a lot of laps. They could have just kept breaking down.
That's true.
You know, but yeah, in terms of pace, they're not really competing.
No, the car is probably underdeveloped, or at least underrefined. I like the new, I'm looking at it now, I like the new colour scheme, and I think it's quite appropriate. They've got Rocket sponsoring them.
Yeah,
on the side of the car. I don't know, the car looks quite tidy. I think maybe after a few races, if they get some updates to it, refine what they're doing, they could be in the midfield fighting for points.
Yeah, I think that's the best they can hope for, really, though.
Maybe if there's a crazy race, they could get a bit higher. Obviously, they got George Russell, the reigning F2 champion. Just hope that he can... the Williams is something... he's capable of showing what he can do. And I look forward to watching him throughout the season. And then, of course, the comeback of this year, really, is Robert Kubica.
Yeah.
Big unknown. I was going to say, is he taking away a seat that could go to a younger driver?
Yes.
absolutely, yeah. Should he come back? What has he got to prove? Maybe he feels...
because he is an F1 driver. He wants to... It was his dream to be an F1. You know, it's what he wants to do. It's pinnacle of single-seater motorsport.
Yeah. He's got a chance. It's going to be a tall order to see him. It's a bit like De La Rosa. I remember Pedro De La Rosa. He came back into the sport driving for HRT back in 2000.
Yeah, but he wasn't as good as Kubica was.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not saying he will be as good this time round. But
anyway, so Robert Kubica, it's a big unknown. I don't know what more to say. I want to see him do well. I want to see him do well. But I can't realistically see it at the moment. Moving on, ninth place, Racing Point. Obviously, they lost all their points for the season last year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so they lost.
They
lost their constructors' points, so that's why they're so low down. I don't know what to say about the team. What we said before, team in transition.
I think they'll struggle, to be honest.
Yeah, you reckon they're going to struggle? They got Lance Stroll.
I don't think Stroll is that good. He's not bad, but he's not...
he's an average.
He's
average.
He's young and so, yeah.
Again, Sergio Perez, a man who on his day can look like he could be anyone, but then when he's off it, he's anonymous. So a big inconsistency gap, which is why I think McLaren didn't retain him. It could be his last year, maybe. I don't know. He's obviously a safe pair of hands. Forcing to keep retaining him.
I felt bad that Ocon lost his seat to Stroll.
Well,
and I think that's almost affecting my view on them, because I kind of want Stroll to not do very well because of that, which I suppose is a bit wrong in a sense, but I feel like he doesn't really deserve to be in that seat, really.
It's a bit convenient. So, it's a bit convenient.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done enough. I mean, he scored one podium place in a chaotic race. Anyone could have been there, you know.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It was a lottery. I haven't really seen Stroll do anything else. Well, he qualified third or something in Italy.
He's just not consistent enough, I don't think.
No. To make the point, last year Sorokin, you know, he didn't exactly destroy Sorokin.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So. Big question mark. How long can Daddy's money keep him in the sport? Moving on, McLaren. New paint job.
Yeah.
New paint. It looks cool actually. And sponsors. They've got sponsors on the car. it's amazing.
Amazing
to see.
Stuff. Yeah.
I know. I like the McLaren. I like the look of the McLaren. Like it looks like it could be a quick car. Maybe they've got something right. What's your thoughts?
I actually don't like the look of it very much. The colour, I don't like the colours.
It's grown on me. Are you looking at it now?
No, I'm not. But I can see it in my mind's eye.
Okay, your mind's eye. The orange and the blue.
Yeah.
I do like it.
I really want them to do well. So I think, again, I'm a bit biased. Because I'm almost like, come on, McLaren. Let's get you back up to the top.
It's bonkers. They've become like an underdog.
Yeah,
we're talking about McLaren. They're meant to be the best team, right up there. So yeah,
and we know that they're good in the corners. It's just previously they were one of the best cars.
Supposedly. They've got the Renault engine. I think the Renault engine has made some progress. From what I was reading, it looks like all the engines are pretty close now. Ferrari still slightly ahead. But I read that Mercedes have also completely revamped their engine. So it's very exciting, very unknown. McLaren's drivers. So they have an all new driver lineup. Carlos Sainz taking over basically from Alonso. Hopefully see some good things from him. And Lando Norris, runner-up in Formula 2 last year. Another exciting prospect.
Another
Brit.
Young talent.
Yeah, three Brits on the grid this year, mate. When was the last time we had three British drivers on the grid?
Isn't Alexander Albon? Is he Thai?
Is he French?
He's British-born.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Albon is born in England.
He races under a Thai racing license, doesn't he?
Or does he? Yeah.
I think I could be wrong.
I think he's something like that. But yeah, the Brits are coming. The young Brits are.
And it's great to see because I don't know how many years Lewis has left in him. So it's good to see some more.
Yeah, exactly.
More talent coming through. For Norris, if he could match Carlos Sainz, just keep his nose clean. Get some points when the opportunity rises, he should do all right. It's funny, isn't it? Because Kubica's like, he's coming like a rookie again, in a way.
Sorry, Catherine's just walked in. Oh, she left her phone. She's telling me she left her phone. Sorry, I'm losing focus.
Stay in the zone.
Oh, she's coming in. Hello. She's distracting me. Do you want to ask her a question? Who do you think's going to win the F1? The driver's title this season.
Bottas.
Did you hear that, Dave?
Ooh.
Bottas. I think that's because she likes him, really, more than she actually thinks he'll win.
No, I think that he'll win as well as liking him.
Okay, well, there you go.
Oh, sweet. Well, we've got Catherine's prediction. We'll get on to
We've got your prediction, yeah. We can have a look at that in years' time.
She might be right.
She might be right. Anyway, okay, so where were we, Dave?
Alfa Romeo is the next on the list. The old Sauber team. Very sad that Sauber the name of Sauber is gone.
Shame they didn't keep it. When BMW Sauber. Why couldn't it have been Alfa Romeo Sauber?
It's an end of an era, really, isn't it? Which is sad, but
they might bring it
things
back.
Do move on. Yeah, when Alfa Romeo. Or Fiat, should I say, pull out. So Alfa Romeo, the car's looking pretty good. Like I said before, Ferrari engines, a bit of a dark horse. They've got Kimi Raikkonen in the car, a world champion. He's raced with Sauber and he's before, so he's a bit of a homecoming for him. He's up to get his hands dirty. Did you see that video of him fixing his own racing seat on Twitter?
No.
Oh right!
That's good though.
They put up a video. He was mucking in. He was doing.
He's doing his bit.
So it's good. Great job. And do you know who the other driver is?
I do. Gustav, as we call him. Giovinazzi.
The big G. Yeah, Antonio Giovinazzi, returning to the sport after his two race appearance. Was it two race?
Yeah, I think it was two.
back in 2016? I can't remember.
Was it 2017?
So, and I remember him spinning a lot.
Twice on the same corner, yeah. I think what we all think of him. Yeah, so, in China.
Here we are. So, yeah, there we are.
I just a side note, I really like the look of this car. Like
sexy, isn't it? Yes, like I said, they've incorporated the halo design into the rest of the car. Yeah. It looks great. Dark horses. They rocked up a lot of mileage in testing, and they should be in a good place coming to Melbourne.
Moving on.
We have the Red Bull B team, Toro Rosso.
They've got last year's Red Bull parts. I think they're going to be quite good, but I don't want them to be because they're using lots of Red Bull last year's Red Bull
bits
parts, like the same sort of thing as Haas did, where they used
the Ferrari
from the year before, and then they were suddenly the fourth best team and looking really strong. And I don't like the idea of that. I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah, but it's a constructors. Constructors Championship, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What's the, you know, it's not their car. It's half.
It's
half
a
someone else's work.
It's a hybrid, isn't it? It's a weird combination. Toro Rosso, back end of the field, perhaps mixing it in, score the other point. I don't know. You watched a bit of F2. Alexander Albon, is he any good?
He came third in F2.
He came third.
He was third, yeah. So he was like the top three from F2 and now in F1.
That shows he got the speed.
Apparently he did quite well in testing. So
right, this will be
that's a good sign.
Yeah, so that would be it'll be a good learning curve for him. And of course they brought back in Danny Kvyat. The man who just can't go away.
I was more surprised at him getting the drive than Albon.
I mean, does he likes punishment then, doesn't this man? So he was at Toro
Rosso. He's not going to give up.
No, he was promoted to Red Bull. He was then kicked out of Red Bull, went back to Toro Rosso, got kicked out of Toro Rosso. And then came back and
he got put back in and then dropped again.
Then he was dropped again. Yeah, now he's back. I mean,
now he's back again.
You take a hint.
Well, they brought him back. They obviously rate him.
Yeah,
so.
I read a quote that Toro Rosso boss said that he's changed. Well, has he? Oh. What's he done? He's
the new man.
He's a new man. It's like, what did he do? He did some testing for Ferrari. It was their reserve driver or something. Right, okay. I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
He'll be gone before the season is out.
Oh, you think he'll get dropped again? That'd be so hard if he did.
It's like, finally gone.
A record, like, amount of times you can get dropped.
Maybe that's what he says. Oh. Yeah, Toro Rosso, back end of the field, scored the odd point
I am pleased to see him back because it kind of shows you, like, never give in. Whatever happens, you get knocked back.
You get back up again.
Never give up, and you never know, you can bounce back. And he's proving that, you know, he's back and he's driving with the big boys again.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
We'll
see what happens. The next team on the list is the... I can never get the name right. Haas.
For posh people, or Haas.
Haas. The Haas Racing American team. Sporting a brand new look.
I quite like the car.
Oh, I like the car too.
That's the one thing I like about them is the car looks good.
Yeah. Using so
that that's it. That's where it ends.
Sponsored by Rich Energy.
Yep.
Apparently, it's an energy drink from the UK. I've never seen this energy drink.
They sent out that tweet, didn't they? That tweet when they were like...
Oh, yeah.
The tremendously talented...
Roman Grosjean
is already ahead of the Red Bulls. on this. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I put a smile on my face. So Haas, look at, well, you know what? They look good. To be perfectly honest with you, not pace setting, obviously, but still, I think up there. I think they might give the top teams a bit of a headache.
Well, they did start the fourth best team last year. They were most of the way. They were sort of the fourth best team, or you can expect them to be there or thereabouts in Q3 most race weekends. I still don't like them.
No, I know.
Kevin Magnussen is. I'm never going to like him, I'm afraid. He's just not a nice person. Doesn't come across like a nice person, I'm afraid.
Mr. Smug. I'm sure if you met him, he might be nice.
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I mean, he doesn't like the rest of the field. The rest of the field don't like him. He's not really very fair. He doesn't give drivers an inch to the point where it's not safe. I don't know. I just don't think he's good for the sport.
Maybe he'd be better in NASCAR or IndyCar. Demolition Derby? That's what they do in America, right?
No, I thought perhaps like he could be a chef or something. You know, just go and do something. Just go do something else.
You want him serving you meals?
Oh, that's a good point. What would we be happy for him to be doing?
Stuntman.
What? Stuntman?
Yeah.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Stuntman.
And then he gets... Yeah. Yeah, he probably would quite enjoy that.
That'll work with him. And of course, the other driver, the ever my
future world champion,
my future world champion, Romain Grosjean, still in the sport. He's still doing something.
So for those who don't know, Dave, about 10 years ago, said that Romain Grosjean would one day be F1 world champion.
Yeah, well, he still could be true.
He's standing by it.
He still could be true. He's still in it. You have to be in it to win it. And
it's true. It just takes one move up.
He's certainly in it. So let's see what happens. Haas, I think they could be around the Red Renault area, so possibly challenging for podiums. Leaders of the midfield pack, giving the front teams a bit of a headache.
Yeah, I think a bit like last year, I think we can expect.
Yeah. Moving on, the team that finished fourth last year, Renault. And this is a big year for Renault, I would say.
Exciting year, yeah.
Yeah, they've had a few years building up. For the first time since then, they now have what I would describe as a star driver lining in Daniel Ricciardo and the podium-less... Yep. Nico Hülkenberg.
Could be his year.
If it's going to be any year, this is the year. The Renaults are pretty sweet. I would say.
Yeah,
they definitely the leaders of the midfield pack. As close as they're going to get to the front three. All the ingredients are there for Renault to have a good year.
Do you think like Ricciardo, the fact he's moved suggests that he believes that they're going to be soon enough one of the big teams.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He must know that they've got the potential
what's coming
to fight with. Yeah,
yeah, no, absolutely. Because people forget, you know, this is the same team that Alonso won the championships with. This is the same team that Michael Schumacher won his first championship with. The DNA, the DNA, if you want to talk DNA. It's there, and it could happen. You know, it could happen again. History could repeat if they have the right financial backing, which they do now in the parent company Renault. Anything can happen, and with Ricciardo obviously feels it could happen. So fair play to him, and
let's hope it does happen.
Let's hope it does happen because it'll be wonderful to see.
I'd like to see Ricciardo and Hülkenberg,
absolutely, and
Renault as well.
Yeah.
You know.
So Renault, big year. Let's hope for some good things.
Yeah.
Moving on to the first of the big three, Red Bull Racing. Well, again.
So you're saying four they didn't do a lot of laps in testing.
Yeah, the eighth.
They were towards the back.
Yeah, the eighth number of that, and they've had a bit. They haven't had the yeah, the best
quite straightforward testing. Of testing. Yeah.
No, obviously Gasly did have a proper crash, which is never good for your new employers. Verstappen is always going to give it his best, and Verstappen, you know, he's an old one. How old is he now? 20? No,
20 or 21, maybe 20, I think.
Yeah. Oh, he's born 1997. God. So he's
already 21.
He's 21, right? It's bonkers, isn't it? I was going to say this is his year to mature. I wasn't very mature as 20.
No, he's still got a few more years.
Absolutely.
Going by the events of last year, yeah. I think he's still got a little way to go.
Absolute hothead. But his talent is undeniable.
Yeah, I think if Red Bull, I don't think they've got a good enough car, but I think if they had a car that could match the top two, he would be a good shout for winning the title.
Yeah, I still think he'll be able to nick some wins, but is it there to consistently be up there? I have my doubts, and obviously we've not mentioned this yet. They've got the Honda engine now.
Yeah,
sorry, Honda powertrain. Obviously this is new for the team. It's a brand new engine. Yeah. Brand new engine compartment. Apparently, Christian Horner described it as a work of art before they started. But I read recently that the Honda engine guys have actually said that we were too aggressive in testing, and the engine they've come with for Melbourne is going to be toned down a bit. I was like, what?
Oh God!
So it's begun already, has it?
It's already.
Why would you do that? Why would you spend all the testing with an engine and then say, oh, well, it's a bit too extreme. So you're coming in with another concept. Turn down again. It's infuriating. But that being said, Honda, I think the Honda itself has been quite reliable. What they had was quite reliable. I was going to say quite fast, but we don't know what engine modes they're running.
Yeah.
Red Bull.
I don't see anything to suggest that they're going to have improved on last season.
No,
that's the way I see it.
No, absolutely not yet.
I think they'll be third. I think they'll win the odd race. Obviously, they've got a new driver in Pierre Gasly. Can he win a race?
I can't see it. I think he's been promoted. Obviously, he's had to step up a bit too soon, maybe. I think he's definitely one for the future, driver for the future.
Yeah, maybe a year too soon. Yeah.
Yeah, he's now got a very big task. He's been given one of the best cars in the field. What can he do with it? And it's one of those make or break situations.
I really like him, and I really want to see him do well.
Is he Max Verstappen quality?
No. I wouldn't be surprised if he got thrashed by him, really. But then, you know, that's not as bad as it sounds because it's
Verstappen.
Max Verstappen.
Yeah. If I think if he can keep up with Verstappen and be within a few tenths of a second of him, then
that's going to look really good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something to build on. That's something to work on. But if he's half a second back or more,
yeah,
questions will be asked. Obviously, last year, he was up against Brendan Hartley. It wasn't a massive gap between the two. Gasly did win the inter-team battle, but not convincingly. And obviously, Hartley was dropped. Question marks.
Yeah. Question marks. Yeah.
But like you said, I echo your comments about Red Bull. The odd win, but probably in the Monaco, definitely.
Yeah.
But a title challenge in the hands of Verstappen, maybe. But
not for me.
Not quite there yet.
Nope.
All right, the top two then. The big two.
Ferrari.
Should we go Ferrari? We'll do the Ferrari.
Yeah, they finished second, didn't they?
That's right. The
not so scarlet Ferraris.
Not so scarlet, no.
Yeah. what do they call it? Matte red?
Oh, the matte red, yeah, because it's cheap, it's quicker.
Weighs less. Yeah. Slightly less.
The quickest car in testing on pure pace. They also did a hell of a lot of mileage. So I'm just going to actually have a quick look. They did the second most mileage. Ferrari are looking in the best shape. I remember seeing them in pre-season testing for a long time.
So last year, they were the best team. Mm. And then we went to the first race and they weren't the best team. So
they still won the race. They still won the first race.
Yeah, but but by default, because Hamilton should have won the race and the team made a mistake and all that.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
But we've seen this in the past where they've been the best team and then they still haven't managed to win enough. You know, they can't seem to turn that to a title win. But like you said, they did look very, very good this winter testing.
I am very impressed with Ferrari. I mentioned I was listening to the podcast before, the Autosport podcast. The guys at the track were saying that Ferrari looks planted, basically. And it's definitely one of the best cars up there.
Some train tracks.
If Sebastian Vettel is going to win a championship again,
this is it.
This is his time. This is the time.
This could be his last chance. Well, I reckon this is his last chance.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, to be saying this? But if he doesn't nail this, then it's going to be a four-time world champion in the Red Bull, which was the most dominant car. But putting Vettel aside, they got Charles Leclerc in the car as well. This thing in Charles Leclerc's hands could be an absolute pocket rocket.
I'm so excited to see how he does, just how good he really is. Because the reason I think that Seb will beat him across the year is it will take Leclerc a little bit more time to really get his feet down. Like, you know, like he'll really, before he really, we see his best. Because it's the first time he's joining the biggest team in the world, like really, like they're like
in terms of
the fan base and in terms of like the history, what it means to drive for them. Like he's never had that before, so it's bound to take him a little bit of time to really get going. But I reckon towards the end he'll be matching Seb.
I echo your comments. I do agree. The only question mark is what you're saying. Driving for the biggest team in the world, there's the pressure that comes with that. Obviously, Charles Leclerc is still quite a young driver.
He's never had that. Yeah, he is very young.
He's got to handle that. Yeah, exactly. He's got to handle. We've seen Vettel crack, and we've seen numerous times how a driver in the midfield car, when he gets put into a top car, that performance doesn't translate. I'm thinking Giancarlo Fisichella. I'm thinking I can't think of anyone on top of my head now, but.
That happens.
Perez, exactly. Charles Leclerc, I think he'll be able to nail it.
I think he was so good last year that he's... Like, we've never really seen... Well, I don't remember seeing, in a long, long time, a driver come to basically a team, not quite the worst team, but near the back, and still manage to get consistently in the points.
Yeah. Well,
I don't really remember seeing that.
Verstappen would be the obvious answor quite now.
In he's Toro on the Rosso was that...
Toro Rosso. No, he was good. Yeah, he was good.
But they were a bit stronger team, I would have said, than Sauber last year.
Were pretty good. Don't take it away.
Last season,
the Sauber was a good car, and that's translated to this year as well.
Okay,
best friend. But the only problem potentially with this Ferrari package is recently it's come out that the Mission Winnow, you know, their title sponsor has had to be removed from the team because it's basically advertising cigarettes, isn't it? It's the cigarette advertising. So, you know, obviously it's something to do with the car's performance, but something that could destabilize a bit of instability in the team just before the new season is never a good thing. So something to look out for.
And on to last year's world champions.
Last year's champions.
Five times in a row, was it? Five?
Yeah, since 2014.
Five constructors in a row,
Since 2014. Mercedes. Can they keep it going? Can they keep it going? This would be incredible if they can.
This is their toughest challenge, I think, so far in the Ferrari versus Mercedes.
Yeah.
Years.
Totally agree. So they rattled the most mileage and testing, but they spent a lot of their time focusing on the long runs, on driving on the harder tyre with high fuel loads, which is absolutely fine. You know, that's absolutely fine. Get the mileage in. However, once you... We talked about this between us, two of us. There comes a point where you have to stick the quickest tyre on, the lowest fuel load, find out where the car is in terms of the balance and the performance. You don't just turn. You can't just go around
getting mileage up. You know, I could drive the Mercedes around at half power forever. You know, what are you going to learn? You know, you're not going to learn anything unless you push it to the limit and break it.
Yeah. I guess, I suppose what they're looking at is, like, the race pace is more important than qualifying pace.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, totally agree. That's exactly. So
rather getting the miles in and
points test are there.
Race pace.
Points are there come in the race, not for qualifying. But if you don't, and they're, you know, there's two aspects of performance. There's the long testing, and then there's the short testing where you go for the outright performance. Have they done enough of that? They opened the taps up on the last day. You know, they opened taps up like that, and they set a time that was slightly slower than the Ferrari. I was reading the drivers were saying that they think that the Ferrari is half a second faster than them. Is that mind games? No one knows. It's complete pie in the sky.
I read the report on BBC about they looked at the times and then they adjusted it for things like tyres and the fuel loads that they can, like, as much as they know about the fuel loads and the time of day and all that stuff, and they made it half a second clear for them with all of that factored in.
For Ferrari or Mercedes?
Yeah, the Ferrari was there. They worked it out to be about half a second.
I think it's fun to speculate, but it is all pointless at the end of the day. Until we see qualifying in Australia, we won't know for sure. Just the feeling I get, though, Mercedes, I've got some work to do. They've got some work to do. They've still got the same driver done up, obviously. Bottas, as we would discuss, is apparently going to be the world champion this year. And Lewis Hamilton. How many years has Lewis been in the sport now? This is 2007, so this is his 13th season?
To put it
into perspective, that's the same number of seasons David Coulthard did. We know David Coulthard was in the sport for a long time. Is the fire still there for Lewis? Can he pull out another 21 race?
I think so.
You reckon he's still gonna go for it?
Because whenever we've said this before, like, because he does like the life outside of F1 as well. See him like at the events and, you know, all this sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And we keep going like, oh, perhaps he's not fussed now. Perhaps he's more focused. And then he comes back stuns us all with like record laps and record wins and all that sort of thing. And he's like, I'm as focused as ever.
Yeah. That's the Lewis Hamilton enigma. So just to bounce on your point there, I think that's just how everyone operates differently, right? I mean, that is just how Lewis Hamilton operates at the Formula One track, at the Formula Race weekends. Yeah. He's 100%.
He's focused. He's 100%
on it. But then when he goes away after the race, that's how he switches off.
Yeah, forgets about everything.
People switch off in different ways. That's how he does it. Fair play to him. He keeps it up.
I think he said as well that he feels the best he's felt at the start of this year. Wasn't there something new? There was new weight regs or something?
Yeah, so that absolutely.
He was allowed to train, like build himself up a little bit more this time, and he's stronger and he's fitter. Because of that, he doesn't have to keep his weight down.
Right. That's right. The minimum weight limit of the cars this year has been increased, so therefore the drivers don't have to be underweight anymore.
Yeah.
So it won't disadvantage a taller driver such as Nico Hülkenberg as much, but it also means the drivers can put on the pounds a bit and just get into a healthy weight rather than
a really good shape.
What they've been doing, which is underweight basically. Big fight between Mercedes and Ferrari this year.
Yeah. Here is a bit of a side thought. Do you think that if Bottas doesn't perform, like if he has a year like he did last year and he doesn't quite get to his best, do you think that Ocon will replace him next year?
Oh, that's a good one, mate.
Because they've obviously, because he's having a year out, he's a Mercedes youngster. They rate him. Isn't he a test driver for them this season?
I think he's their reserve driver,
You know, at what point do you put him in? You know, they've lined him up as a potential driver. He's clearly good enough. You know, what point do you swap him? Because you can't swap out Hamilton. Like, you could, but you wouldn't, because it's Hamilton. He's, you know, you want him there.
Yeah.
I can see it. I could see in a year's time they're swapping the two of them.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think Ocon is kind of in, because Formula One teams, right? They plan stuff 3 years in advance. Like, you know, they want X, Y, Z person. And Ocon, yeah, it's outrageous he's not in a car this year. And I think Mercedes definitely had him earmarked for a drive.
Yeah.
I know Lewis Hamilton was kind of saying about maybe moving to Ferrari, because, you know, every driver wants to do Ferrari. Everyone's tempted by that. It's interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
It's interesting. There's a roundup of the year. Let's do... So moving on quickly from that, let's do our top 10 predictions. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, if you like. So this is mine and Dave's top 10, where the top 10 drivers will finish. So and we're going to start from 10th and move up to first. So I debated this. I went through this in my head again and again, because it was difficult. I couldn't quite get my head around it. But I've come to a decision. Are you going to write it on the page?
Yes.
Cool. In 10th place, I've gone for Perez.
Perez is going to his time in our top 10. That's interesting.
Sergio Perez.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Ooh. Very good. So I'm not convinced by the racing point. I've gone with Carlos Sainz in 10th place.
Okay. In the McLaren?
In the McLaren, yeah.
If you do 9th first?
Yeah, so ninth position for me, Nico Hülkenberg.
Ah.
In the Renault.
I've gone 9th place as Kimi Raikkonen.
Ah, the Kimster.
Yeah. I am not having Haas in my predictions. I'm refusing to put Haas in my top 10.
8th position, sir.
8th position, Hülkenberg.
Oh, Hülken. Is it Hülkenberg?
Hülkenberg with an N, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Call yourself an F1 fan.
Yeah. So 8th place, Hülkenberg.
And you?
Raikkonen.
Raikkonen. So you've got him ahead of Hülkenberg.
So that'll be an interesting fight between the two of us there.
Hülkenberg is like the most consistently top 6 driver ever. Like, he is never higher than 6th, no, but he's never below about 9th.
That's right.
Like, ever.
He's always about there. It's he's there somewhere. Fair.
And then I feel like the next ones will be the same. Not necessarily the same order, but the same.
I will see what we got out with. So,
7th. Ricardo in 7th. Oh, no, it's you first.
No,
sorry.
It's me. But I've gone with Ricardo as well.
We've both gone Ricardo in 7th. Interesting how close they are. You know, so you've got Sainz in 10th. I was really debating Sainz. But the McLaren, I just feel like the McLaren isn't going to be as consistent as the racing point.
Still a bit of a handful. I don't know.
Yeah, I would rather see Sainz 10th, but Perez is like, he's just consistent. He knows what he's doing. The car will probably be there or thereabouts, maybe not.
Yeah, see, I don't know about that. I think that's a bit of a wild one, but... Okay.
Well, maybe,
okay.
Yeah.
So, sixth position.
Sixth position, Pierre Gasly.
Oh, Gasly. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pierre Gasly.
So, sixth position for me is Pierre Gasly.
really? And fifth place for you?
Fifth place for me is Valtteri Bottas.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Fifth place for me is Max Verstappen.
Really? Oh, he's quite low.
You
don't have faith in the old Honda.
I think Red Bull just won't be as good as the Mercedes. I think Bottas needs to step up. I think he's got to win two or three times at least. He's got to.
Oh,
he's going to be one, twos quite a lot. I think he'll get more points.
Very good.
Fourth place, that's me, isn't it? Bottas, fourth place.
And Bottas in fourth, lovely. We should put Catherine's in there as well.
So
fourth place, I've gone with Verstappen.
Oh, predictable.
Predictable. So third, I think I know what you've gone for.
So third is...
Hamilton. No.
You first. Yeah.
Third is Leclerc.
Is it Leclerc?
Leclerc.
I would say Leclerc.
It's Leclerc. I'm pretty sure you've gone for Leclerc as well.
I have gone for Leclerc. Yeah, Leclerc as well.
Okay.
Leclerc third. That's a nice thought, isn't it?
That is quite nice actually. Yeah. I reckon he could do it.
He'll win a race, I think, at some point.
Yeah.
Second place, it's me to go first. Should we say our winners? Should we say them together?
The winner position, the winning team driver.
Yeah, because we've done this before where we go 3-2-1, say. Should we do that again?
Okay, let's do that again.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So this is who's going to win? Who's going to be world champion?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep. Okay.
Ready?
Three, two, one.
Vettel.
Look at that. We both said Vettel.
Right, that's gonna happen for real now, isn't it?
Not that I want him to, but
no, same.
He can't balls it up again. He should have won the last 2 years. He should be a 6-time world champion, really.
I think, absolutely. I think that, like I said earlier, if Vettel is gonna win another title, it's now. It's got to be now, isn't it?
This is
his chance. If he doesn't, then it's like, you've had how many? How long has he been at Ferrari? 2015, and he's had. Last year was a definite title tilt. And 2017 also was not a full.
Yeah.
Well, no, because he crashed at Singapore, didn't he? That was kind of it. So
he had it in his hands to win, and he balls it up. Himself, pretty much. It was his own fault as well. It wasn't like the car failed him a few times. This was his doing.
Agreed. Yeah.
So I think he's going to be like, I can't let that happen again. I've got to make it work.
So there we are.
And you said at the start the top three on the F1 site. You said they had done their top three.
So they had said Ferrari in first. Mercedes in second, and Red Bull third.
Oh, so that was it.
Yeah,
that was their prediction.
Yeah,
I thought it was the drivers.
No, they've done it by teams. Yeah, I don't know if they've released the drivers yet.
Okay, we probably won't put that in.
No.
No, we will.
Good point.
It's
okay.
Basically, so, we can all see that.
So,
but, yeah.
Shall we very quickly do our best votes?
Oh yes. So I put a vote to the. I put a vote to the test.
To the fan.
To the fan. And we had a total of 47 votes, Dave.
Four.
Across the board. 47 votes.
Not bad.
That is incredible. So I'm going to pick, because I did nine, but I'll only pick a few of the best ones. Who will win the Constructors' title? So we've kind of both said that Ferrari we think will win. So we had the Mercs. Well, no, the winners were Ferrari with 50% of the votes. The Mercs had 43% and Red Bull had 7%. And nobody went for another team. So I think that kind of, again...
Well, yeah, it's kind of 50-50. It's kind of 50-50.
Makes our point
but
of...
at the same time, Ferrari have got a clear lead there.
Yeah. Will Nico Hülkenberg get on the podium? 75% of people said yes.
Or 3 out of 4.
No. We don't need to say that, Dave. Because it sounds better, 75%.
Sorry. 75% of all people that voted in this poll said Hülkenberg would get on the podium.
Thank you. Who will win the drivers' title? 75% for Hamilton.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
So it's a bit of a split there between
we both Hamilton don't winning. Agree with that.
And well, yes, we both don't.
Who is going to be the leading rookie? Russell, Norris, Albon. And it was 50% each for Norris and Albon, which I think is quite predictable.
That's quite, that is plausible, very plausible.
Albon, if the car's good enough, maybe. And finally, will the 20 drivers who start the season start all of the races in 2019? 67% said no.
It's interesting that. So someone.
And on that bombshell.
It's time to end. Thank you very much for joining.
Good night.
Enjoy the season.
We have reached our course. We hope to keep it nice and short. It has turned out to be an hour and a half. It's a bit longer than your average podcast.
They don't need to know that. I'm sure you can just speed it
cut
up.
Cut it right down.
Just speed it up. It's fine.
Just do it twice speed. That's a great idea.
So there we are. That's Life Formula One 2019 prediction. We hope you've enjoyed. It's been fantastic. It has been fantastic.
I've had a great time.
More of the
normal
service
to resume
than normal. But yeah, it's been good, and we hope you enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to another That's Life podcast, and enjoy the season to come. And of course, subscribe to That's Life podcast.
Share and subscribe to That's Life podcast. Tell your friends, tell everyone, because we're everything. We're wonderful.
Exactly. Art tags and deleted scenes.
So we're here to for the next. How long have we got? Day.
Well, the shorter we can make it, the better for me.
So straight to the point, yeah.
So let's just end it there, shall we?
Oh, okay. So
that'd be perfect.
Hamilton wins. Right, lovely. Good.
Hamilton wins. Oh, you is that what you think? Is it? Ooh.
Or is it the double bluff?
That would just be a bluff, wouldn't it? Bluff would be, you think it is Hamilton. Anyway, we can't afford to do this.
let's not examine what I've just said. So I suppose the best way to start really is to round up what we said the last season's preview that we did. Talk right over me, why don't you? That's fine.
Sorry, I was trying to just start. You seem to be going on a bit, so I wanted just to get in because you. You sounded like you needed help.
I was literally about to finish, and then you just come over me.
No, but it's okay because I can edit it to not overlap. Just be cool, man. Cool.
I'll just drink my lemonade.
Okay. So, because last year there was a lot of new things, and we talked about these new things, we thought we'd have a look back and see our thoughts before the new things.
You're a bit rusty, mate.
Oh God. Okay, I'll start again. So because last year there was a lot of new aspects. Try not to say things. Oh.
Features.
So, Dave, you know how last year there was loads of new things, like the new theme song, the logo, the Halo.
Nice.
Logo,
Halo, theme tune.
Yeah. We talked about these last year before we knew when they were new, and it's been a year, so we thought we'd look back at what we said last year and see how close we were to the reality of the... This sounds so bad!
The reality of the thing! Yes, I like that. Anyway, roll the clips!
The reality of the situation. Oh, God. Oh, I don't know what you mean, Rusty.
Oh, God. Rusty. Sorry. Rusty.
Should we start the show again?
Should we just begin again? I feel like I'm all right. But
yeah, you're doing fine. I'm falling to pieces.
Do you want me to just do it? Shall I just do it and then you could just be quiet?
I can put this as an outtake, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So
right.
Do you want to...
So what have we got for you? We are going to play you a clip from last year's show where we discuss three of the new features that the Formula One management is introducing for the season. And we're going to see if our thoughts and opinions are the same 1 year on. So play that clip.
Rubbish. Sorry. No, that was great. That was great. Well done. That was pretty much what I said. Goodbye.
we're not very good at closing these. Just cut it out now. Just
live long and prosper.
Just cut it randomly, like boop, done.
Yeah. Goodbye, everyone. Say something smart, Dave.
Say something smart. Okay.
Say something smart.
In 2008, Lewis Hamilton won the Formula One World Championship whilst passing Timo Glock for the lead on the last corner.
Of the last lap of the last race.
Of the last lap of the last race. And everyone went wild, except for Felipe Massa and his dad, because they crashed. They broke
and the guy that headbutted the wall.
They broke a television that cost lots of money to replace.
Okay, you can stop now.
Oh, is that
Take
it?
Take care and goodbye. How's that? Take care and goodbye.
That was quite funny. Okay, stop.
Stop.
That's Life Podcast is part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or follow Britpod Scene on Twitter to find out more.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.